It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 18. We're going to begin reading with verse 24. So please open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Again, Exodus chapter 18, verse 24. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. And if you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that you have that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Exodus chapter 18, beginning to read with verse 24. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel, made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way unto his own land. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they unto the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagles' wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. There are the words which thou shalt speak. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people unto Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up unto the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. He said unto the people, Be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day, in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud up on the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the neither part of the mount, and the Mount Sinai, was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the Lord there, the smoke thereof, ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bonds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. We're going to stop there. We've gotten all the way to the second verse of chapter 20, and we're going to end there and begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come together and enjoy this time of fellowship. It's just such a joy to be able to open your word and know that your spirit will guide and lead us as we enjoy the study today. Please, that you will speak to every heart, speak to the heart of those that are lost, that do not know you as their Savior. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. They've never come by faith to you. They have ignored this sweet invitation of all they need to do is invite you into their heart. And that is a wonderful invitation that is given from you, Lord, to us, that all we need to know you, all we need to, in order to have our sins forgiven, is to invite you into our hearts to save us, recognizing that we're lost, recognizing we're a sinner, and we need salvation. Oh, please today that every person that's listening will come and will accept you as their Savior today and be born again, be saved. Please let that take place. And dear Father, there's much for us to learn that are saved. There's so much to learn. So we come together to study your word, and we do that on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday night. We come together to learn your word, and what a wonderful opportunity that you have given us to do just that. So please speak to our hearts today through this radio program and through this ministry that we have here, that we'll hear from you, dear Lord, each and every one of us, to know your way and will for our lives. And I ask this in the Lord Jesus' name, amen. We have looked now and will continue to, just a few minutes, at a decision that Moses made, and it kind of comes to a head right here in the 24th verse. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. We don't have any direction here that this is of the Lord, that it's of God's will. We find that it is of man's will, a man's understanding, and that's a common statement that a person hears. I hear it quite often that, oh, you know, you're very busy, and you just, you know, I don't know how you can do this and do this and do this. Well, it is all by the power of God. It's by the will that He has and strength that He has given me, and it's the same way with many folks. But man comes and they tell you that, you know, oh, you're going to burn out. Oh, you're going to wear out. Well, when I begin to do it by man's ideas and with man's plan, and there are so many programs today that do just totally ruin a preacher, ruin a deacon, an elder, whatever you might have at your church. You know, it's very common that these things that they do burn out, but they burn out, the people burn out because it's all the programs. It is not because they are studying God's Word and teaching God's Word. It's because of all the programs and things that they have, and that's made for some social club, you know, not the church. And here, Moses' father-in-law had a plan. He shared that plan with Moses. Moses thought it was a good plan, and he took it up. And he followed his directions, and he divided everybody up so that he wasn't working such long days. Don't you think the Lord knew how long Moses was working? It wasn't going to be long that God was going to have in place such things. But you see, what happens is man many times gets ahead of God's timing and God's schedule, and that's what's happened here. We find that it is Jethro's idea, not God's idea, and we have a problem because Moses hearkened unto that. And many believe that this is the beginning of the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin are the ones that crucified, that brought the false charges against the Lord Jesus and had him crucified. And so you see, it wasn't good. And I'm talking some 1,500 years yet it's going to come to pass before that comes. But this group of people that were put into place, and, you know, he said that he chose able men out of all Israel. And so we find that it is, you know, probably good men. But it's still, when it's not God's plan, it's not God's plan. So we need to seek the will of God. When it comes to anything to do with our life, with the church, with anyone else's life, we need to be depending upon the Lord and looking unto the Lord for His will and His direction. And He'll give you great wisdom to walk each day. And I want you to do that, because we're going to find that this isn't the best as far as Moses is concerned. And he is hearkening to a man, not unto God. And we need to listen to what God has to say more so than we do man. Now, we've come to the 19th chapter now. And in that third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they unto Sinai, wilderness of Sinai. They had departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai. You know, you may have heard for years, Mount Sinai, Mount Sinai. And as you hear that, what would you think? What's your first thought when you hear those words, Mount Sinai? It is probably that you think of the Ten Commandments. Well, that's probably right, because that's where they received the Ten Commandments, is about upon Mount Sinai. But as we study through this, you're going to find that the law, that the Ten Commandments, the law, comes and it just judges us and condemns us. It doesn't save us in any way. And so at the same time that God delivers unto the nation of Israel judgment, the law, He also delivers to them grace, which is the tabernacle, the plans to the tabernacle. And oh, it is so wonderful to study this, because you maybe have never seen this before. A lot of folks haven't. They miss that. They didn't realize that they think the only thing that Moses got up out upon Mount Sinai was one thing, and that was the Ten Commandments. And that's not so at all. And so we find here that as we go from Moses hearkening unto his father-in-law and choosing these men, that the Lord brings them on the third month, which would be 90 days, brought these children forth unto the land that's from Egypt to Sinai. And so that's how long this journey has lasted, you know, from coming out of the gates of Egypt and down and crossing the Red Sea and then through the wilderness. We've watched several times here. There's several things of grace that God has done for this nation and for this people on their way in this short period of time. He has delivered them and given them manna, given them food to eat, and they were hungry, and He fed them. They were thirsty, and He gave them drink. You know, as we look at this, and we find that the water was bitter at one of the locations, and he sweetened the water. He delivered the enemy out of their hands, the Amalekites. They were coming against them. God delivered them out of the hand of their enemy. And so many things that we find that the grace of God has come and shown towards these people. They were delivered from the Egyptians as they came and were boxed in down at the Red Sea, and God just opened the sea up and brought them across on dry land, and then he closed the sea back over the enemy as the Egyptians then were put to death through that. And so there's so much that we see and so many things, and we have the same thing in our lives every day. And yet we choose many times to listen to man and go off on a tangent someplace or other than listening to God. And you says, well, and I don't ever listen to a man. Should I listen to my pastor? If he's preaching the truth, if he's seeking the will of God and bringing that will to you, then yes, you need to listen to him. But what you're going to find, if you're studying the Word of God yourself, you're going to have a peace about what your preacher's telling you. Or maybe it's a close family member that's giving you some direction on what to do. Well, you always will confirm that with the Word of God. Go to your Bible and read your Bible. And as you do, why, the Lord will confirm that that's a truth or it's not. And that's the same thing with the preacher, the preaching on Sunday morning, the Sunday school teacher on Sunday morning, the Sunday night Bible study, the Wednesday night Bible study, the Tuesday afternoon Bible study, all those things you need and you will when you study God's Word. Now be careful, because many times you'll come with your opinion, and that opinion is from some man. And I've seen that over and over again. They'll come and they say, here's what it is. And I said, you show me in the Word of God that that's what it says. Because many times it isn't. It's a good point, and it could be a true point, but it's given by man, and we don't necessarily know. And so we've watched this now with Moses, and now we've come and we get to Sinai. We see, we're reminded there just for a few moments all the wonderful things, the manna, the water, the deliverance from their enemies, both the Amalekites and the Egyptians. And it's just a wonderful time in this short 90 days, this short period of time. You know, it's not been long that they were shown all these graces, all these opportunities to be able to leave Egypt because of all the plagues that God laid upon it, all the way to the death of the firstborn. Look at all the power. Look at all the things that God has done for the nation of Israel in this short period of time to prove that he is God. And yet we find very soon and very quickly that they don't believe him, and they don't want to walk by grace. Now, again, before we get any further into the law here that is about to come, I want you to see what God has supplied for these people. He has supplied them manna to eat. He has protected them from their enemies. He has given them water to drink. We're going to find that their clothes is never going to wear out for this 40 years. Their shoes never wear out. Their clothes never wear out for 40 years. God can sustain. God can do those things. And whenever we need the power and the presence of God, we need to look to him for that. And please, please do not be deceived. Do not be tricked by something that man's going to tell you. Listen to man. But when you do, confirm it with the Word of God, and that Spirit in you will guide and lead you. And you need to know the truth, because it's a wonderful opportunity we have of freedom when you know the truth. And so we come now. We have come to Mount Sinai, or the wilderness of Sinai. Israel camps there, it says in verse, end of verse 2. Moses went up unto God. And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, or the house of Israel, tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. We're going to be reminded here. How I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. wonderful. Look at those words. He tells them, I have delivered you from the Egyptians. I have bore you up as eagle's wings to carry you. And what a wonderful picture that is, to be lifted up by this strong and mighty bird that is delivering you right to where God wants you to be. I have delivered you. I have brought you to myself. I've brought you to Sinai so I can meet with you. What a wonderful words that we hear. And then it continues and says, if ye will obey my voice. Now that's a big two-letter word, isn't it? If you will obey my voice indeed, keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. What a name and what a position that God is putting these people in. I will put you above all people. You see, all the earth is mine. Do you remember that? You know, we take possession of things and we think we own some property and we have this and we have that and that's mine. I'm not sharing it with anybody. Well, understand, remember whose it is. All the earth is mine. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak, unto the nation of Israel. Remember, God brought Moses up to the mount, and God began to speak to Moses, and God told Moses what to say. Here's what I want you to say. Please, if ye will obey my voice, if you'll keep my covenants, the promises I've given you, if you'll keep those, I shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. And to be a treasure unto God, what a blessing that is. And you're going to be greater than any other people. For all the earth is mine. I possess the earth. I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which I want you to speak to the nation of Israel, God said to Moses. You see, originally God desired that all the land be, and all the people be priests. There would be a priestly line there. What has happened, because of their disobedience, God ends up choosing one, which is the line of Aaron, the line of Levi. Aaron is the line of the high priest, but the priestly line is kept to the Levites, not to the other 11 tribes. Many believe there is a priest that represents each tribe. That could be, but we know specifically that the Levites are chosen to be the priests. Here God is calling all to be priests. But that doesn't happen because they're disobedient. And we're going to find this out. Remember at the beginning, if you will obey my voice. If you'll obey my voice. Salvation can be yours today if you obey the voice of God. If you'll come to Him today. Please, no one knows the days that they have. No one. We need to be prepared to go off into eternity. You're either going to go to heaven and be with God the Father and God the Son. What a wonderful opportunity that is. Or you're going to go to the lake of fire eventually. Right now you'll go into the place of torment. But you're going to go one or the other. Don't, you know, you can convince yourself, you can think about it and ponder all you want to, that there is no other place. There's no other thing that's going to happen. When this life's over, it's just over. No, that's not true at all. The Word of God does not teach that. The Word of God is the only authority that we have. So you must come by faith to Jesus Christ today in order to go to heaven. Your sins have got to be forgiven. Otherwise, you will pay the penalty of sin, which is death. And that's spiritual death, total and complete separation from God. Even though you're lost today and you've not come by faith to Jesus, you still have the blessings of God. But if you cross past, go over this life into the next, you will, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you will be totally and completely separated from God. You will have nothing of God's blessings to be yours. And you'll find out how much God was doing for you, even though you disagreed and you weren't obedient in any way, and you said that He doesn't live, He's not alive, He didn't die for me, all those things. If you say, and you go to the lake of fire, you're going to find out what it's like. You're going to realize how much God has done for you all of your life. But it's going to be too late to reconcile that. It's going to be too late. Verse 7 of the 19th chapter. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses turned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Now, as we look at those words, I want you to do something up here, because it's the way we are, and it's so sad. In verse 8, we think that we can do everything God tells us to do. And the people actually desired a list. They wanted a list to live by. And if they possessed that list, if they knew how to please God, they knew they would. Well, that's the biggest lie has ever been told, because it is impossible for us to please God. We cannot keep the Word of God and keep His laws and keep His ways and please Him. We can't. That's the reason Jesus Christ had to go to the cross of Calvary. You know, the law demands, but grace gives. The law says do, but grace says believe. The law says work, and grace says rest. The law says do, and thou shalt live. Grace says live, and thou shalt do. The law condemns the best man. Listen to that one. The law condemns the best man. Grace saves the worst man. Those are just some comments that I read, and wonderful comments, worth reading. God never gave the law as a means of salvation. No one was or has ever been saved by the law. What the law does do is reveals the character of God, and it reveals the weakness of man. That's what the law does. The law is our schoolmaster, and that's where we're going to begin next time we come together. I don't want to get into that, because there's quite a bit of information understanding what a schoolmaster really is. I want to come back to that 8th verse in closing here and look at the people. They immediately agreed, we will do whatever the Lord tells us to do. We will do it. And boy, they were firm in that. No, they won't. No, they didn't. It is so sad that they, you know, didn't come before their God and says, God, we can't please you. We can't. We, no matter how hard we try, we can't. We need a Savior. We need someone to save us, to take our sins away from us. Please, dear God. But instead of that, these people were bold. And as they heard the word, they said, we will do whatever He tells us. We'll carry that out to every letter. And that's impossible for them to do. It is so sad today that you maybe think that you can please God. Maybe you think that you're good enough. Your works are good enough. They're not. You can't please God. I don't care who you are, what you're made of, what your family name is, what your education is. It doesn't matter. You can never please God. Never. Please, that you come by faith to Jesus Christ today. accept his free gift of salvation. Turn to him today, please, as the Holy Spirit comes and convicts your heart today and shows you you're sinner, you're lost, and you're dying in your sin. Please today, please, that you see Jesus Christ and you come by faith to him, and salvation will be yours. Please, that happened today. I just hope today that you recognize your situation, your condition, and come by faith to Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?